Ahoy, mateys! Welcome aboard the Shallows, the pod designed specifically for all you 10-team and smaller league managers out there. I'm your captain, Eric Hendrickson, alongside chief mate Carson Picard. Carson, how are the seas faring today?
I feel like I talk about the weather every single time you ask me that question, but in fairness to myself, it's been varying, and every time I say something, you're like, I'm going to get this in 2 days. So prepare for, I don't know, you're probably getting hot and humid right now, yeah?
Yeah, it feels like the rainforest outside.
It was a dew point of 80 the other morning.
I'm sure we're around there.
It's second highest in the history of Minnesota. Like, it's crazy. Today's, it's all right, though. Just kind of lightly toasty. Still not ecstatic about going outside, but it's all right.
Had some good, I'll take this over wildfire smoke, I think, that we had for a couple weeks ago.
That was, yeah.
That was no bueno. You know what is bueno? This show. We have for you today the captain's report. It's the return of the crow's nest, where we're going to be comparing players without knowing their names, just by their stats. And we're going to have to guess whether you want player A or player B from the crow's nest. And then it's also the return of Marco Polo. That's right, folks. It is a game-centric episode for us here on our 25th episode of the season of the Shallows. So we have, again, Captain's Report, Crow's Nest, and Marco Polo. Marco Polo is where I'm going to give Carson stats for players, and he's going to have to try and guess who they are without looking like he doesn't know what he's talking about. So, before we officially leave port, we release a new episode every Friday. The audio version releases at 7 a.m. Eastern, wherever you get your podcasts, and the video version premieres on YouTube the same night at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you want to see our beautiful made-for-radio mug, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star rating, a like, a thumbs up, a kind review, and don't forget we're part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. So check out the other pods we have available. There are new episodes out daily, and visit pitcherless.com for all the latest and greatest content published daily as well. When we come back, it's the Captain's Report, so stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric. And this is your captain's report, starting off with some injuries and other news, mainly injuries, activations, and rehab assignments. Cody Bellinger, much to my dismay, out 4 to 6 weeks with a strained hamstring. It didn't look like a grade two rounding first base, but apparently it is a grade two, and we'll see you maybe for the playoffs. That's how I feel about that. Next up, Curtis Meade, traded to the Red Sox and then immediately fractured his wrist. Bad luck there. Carson, we didn't cover this trade because it happened after we recorded last week, but Connelly Early straight up for Curtis Meade from the Nationals to the Red Sox, and Early from the Red Sox to the Nationals. What do you make of this trade?
So I, this was a really interesting one. I have two main thoughts. First and foremost, I love one-for-one trades so much. They're so rare in baseball, but they are so much fun. I was just like, yeah, we got a hockey trade going on. Kyle Bland said that, and I was like, you're so right, Kyle. You're so right. The second thing I have is I was one of the few voices amongst the crowd that was like, I think this is awesome for the Red Sox. Now, looks a little less awesome, admittedly. But I still think, you know, if he comes back, this season, I think Curtis Meade has been really good this year. If you want to buy in on a former high ranking prospect, a former talented player having four really good months that didn't seem very fluky, besides like his previous repertoire, if he debuted this year, let me say that, if he debuted this year as a 25-year-old prospect, I mean, his value would be through the roof. And I think Connelly Early, who had some, you know, ebbs and flows in his season, some metrics that really aren't super favorable on him. His ERA is a good one run lower than his FIP, for instance, and various other stats. I like this for the Red Sox. It's funny to say that now that he's out, you know, a little, probably over a month and a half or so. But I like Curtis Meade quite a bit.
Yeah, he does the hit it hard to the pull side in the air as much as possible thing that Itzhak Paredes has been famous for over the last few years, but he hits the ball harder than Paredes, and he's got the green monster there. So what do you want to do? High launch angle, pull the ball, home run. That's what happens in Fenway Park. It's a good fit there for Curtis Meade. Too bad we really won't be able to see it for quite some time. In other injury news, Byron Buxton hit the 10-day IL today. We are recording this on Wednesday, July 29th, for the second time this season with the hip impingement on the right side. Again, hip impingement, I say. Like, what? Again, unclear exactly what that means. It's one of those loose terms to describe his hip hurts.
It's basically, like, I think it's like a pinched nerve, basically.
Ooh, okay. As someone who perpetually has back problems, I am curious how this might be related to his spine. And not that I am a physical therapist or anything, but I have endured many, many months of physical therapy. And I wonder if he has a certain condition that is just causing this, and that's not great. Don't go see a chiropractor. No offense to any chiropractors out there. Go to PT. Get those muscles in shape, Byron, because you have been fantastic. 25 home runs in 82 games. It's the highest home run to game ratio in baseball this season. So we are going to miss him. But as a Twins fan, Carson, I have to ask you real quick, do you want him to miss an extended period of time, seeing as you guys are fighting for the playoffs, and just get that hip healthy? Or are you just like, get back as soon as you can?
I mean, I think I generally err on like, let's not, if it doesn't matter if you're, here's the deal. If the Twins make the playoffs somehow and Byron Buxton isn't there, it's a wash. Don't even watch the games. They're going to lose. So I think for the Twins, you just, you have to make sure he is 100% before going. That's the only thing that really matters. It doesn't do very much good to force a player back early, especially a player that is as, you know, fragile and tender as Buxton has been.
Yeah, it's a real shame because he's having a phenomenal season. Again, second time that Byron Buxton has hit the 10-day IL with a right hip impingement. Another player who hit the IL, but he is out for the season. That is Shea Langeliers, arguably the number two or three catcher in fantasy this season, out for season with a torn meniscus. That is unfortunate. He should make it back for the beginning of next season without issue, but he is a catcher, and this is a knee issue. And what did they do? They squat. So,
bad.
Not great.
Bad. Sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been especially brutal for catchers lately. You had Adley Rutschman, Samuel Basayo, Kyle Teal, Shea Langeliers all go out recently with injuries. And honestly, I think we talked about him last week. Your number one priority if you lost a catcher should be Gabriel Moreno. Go pick him up if he is somehow still available and you need catching help. All right, next up on the list here, we got some better news. These are players who have started their rehab assignments. Corey Seager has begun his rehab. He did start it yesterday, Tuesday, July 28th. He went 1-for-2 with a home run and made a, apparently, I did not see it, a very impressive diving play at shortstop in the 5 innings that he did play in the field, which is a big deal because he was out with back issues. Most recently, he's missed a lot of time this season. Carson, what are you expecting from Corey Seager once he comes back?
Well, what if I just go way off the rails and I'll say I'm expecting him to 320, you know, something like that. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, he's got that talent for it, you know. I'm expecting Corey Seager to slot right back into things. The thing with Seager is he's so aggressive that if he is in tune, he is a hot-rodded Ferrari.
Yeah. If he was dropped for some reason in your league and you can pick him up and you have the ability to do so, stash him on the IL or stash him on your bench, I do think he will be a roster upgrade rest of season. He's too good to have been this bad that he's been all season. Kind of like Manny Machado in my mind. You know, a guy who's just been bad all year. He's been phenomenal lately. Next up on the list here, Kyle Harrison started his rehab assignment on Thursday. That's right. I just used the past tense for the future because you'll be listening to this on Friday. He will have started. Yep. he will have started last night, which is tomorrow night, if you can follow. So Kyle Harrison is slated to throw about 75 pitches. And the hope is that he will return in early August. I'm expecting him to pick up right where he left off. This feels like, sure, there could have been an issue because he said, like, yeah, I was experiencing a little discomfort. But I wonder just, like, if it was beyond the normal, this is what happens because you're a pitcher who throws 95 miles an hour kind of thing, or if this was a phantom IL sort of.
I feel like this is one of those where a you know, you have room to, you have room to spare. Like, you have an injury, we can take it easy. Like, we're in cruise control at the moment. I feel like that's where the Breweries are right now. And I think, yeah, I'm taking a quick peek at the standings because I know they're at the top. They're, you know, 5.5 games up on the Cubs. They're fine.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. They have the luxury to take it easy. In fact, I believe they pushed most of their starters starting tomorrow back a day. Perhaps anticipating the return of Kyle Harrison sometime next week, doing that, or just, you know, hey, we can give guys a break, an extra day of rest, which I always find interesting because we are 2 weeks out from the All-Star break. Like, didn't they just have, anyway, baseball players.
Like 4 days of rest. Some starters, that's not even rest. That's just, if they're next up in the rotation anyway, they're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In some really great news, Edwin Diaz has been activated off the injured list. He is back for the Dodgers. He was not good before he went on the IL, but he did have an injury. What are you doing with Tanner Scott right now? I think that's the bigger thing, because the anticipation is Diaz eventually takes the closing role back, but this is the Dodgers, and they don't care what they pay for setup men.
Yeah, I think if this is one of those cases where you have signed Edwin Diaz to be your closer and you are going to make him that. I think, I honestly, maybe there's one day he has in the majors where he doesn't close, but I think if he's activated, he's closing from here on out. So for Tanner Scott, I trade him if you can, but otherwise I think his value is just...
Yep, you juice the orange, let it go. It's totally fine. Hopefully you hadn't with Diaz and you picked up Tanner Scott. And if you were just like me and you picked up Tanner Scott and didn't have Edwin Diaz, well, I'm looking for the guys who are going to take over at the closer position post-trade deadline, which is when, Carson?
Trade deadline is on Monday. It is August 3rd.
Ooh, coming up fast. And last bit of news here in the captain's report. For injuries and other news, is Ronald Acuna was activated from the injured list again. Hopefully he can stay healthy this time and not go back on the injured list again. The Braves need him. Fantasy managers need him. And I expect Acuna to have a big second half of the season here if he can just stay on the field, which I realize is asking a lot. Okay, but I'm not asking you to hit 40 homers rest of the season. I'm just asking you to not be on the injured list. I think it's a basic ask. When nice we come back,
homers.
What?
Would be nice if he had some homers.
Yeah, some homers.
I'd like him to produce a little bit.
Yeah, produce
Feel
a little bit.
All bad.
I don't mind. Look, if it's going to keep the hamstring healthy, don't run. Even though he ran on his rehab assignment, but like if it's going to really keep that hammy healthy, don't steal bases. I know everyone wants him to run, but I'd rather him be on the field, hit 290,
yeah,
and a bunch of home runs.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. I'd like that too, Eric.
Stay healthy. When we come back, it's the top performers over the last week for the second half of the Captain's Report, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric, and this is the second half of your Captain's Report. It's the top performers over the last week. CJ Abrams, man, just keeps doing it. 13 for 25, 3 homers, 4 stolen bases, 6 RBI. I think we might finally get a full CJ Abrams season of production. What do you think?
I wonder, the only question is if he does it in a Nationals uniform the whole way.
Ooh.
You know, we had talked about trade guys last episode, which you can of course watch but or listen to. But for CJ Abrams, I think that's an interesting name to be tossed around. His value is probably never going to be higher, and this has been an outrageously good season.
I really do wonder if the Nationals are going to buy. Like, they're the most interesting team at this deadline, in my opinion. All right, next up here, we have Jeremy Peña, 13 for 28 with three homers. Another guy, if he's healthy, he's produced. He's had a couple injuries or three injuries this season. As long as he's on the field, he's producing as a top 10 shortstop. Tarek Skubal had two starts over the last week, 14 innings pitched, four earned runs, a 0.786 whip. I don't know how you found that third digit there. With 18 strikeouts, is he the number one pitcher in fantasy, or is he number two behind
Leigh? Oh, he's number two behind the other guy, which we're about to talk about. But it's probably his last start as we're recording this today as a Tiger. I mean, that's been the talk for a year or more in baseball. But it seems like his time in Detroit, he got a nice standing ovation from the Detroit audience today. And then, by the way, Detroit proceeded to blow the lead that they had and lost the game in extras in 12 innings. So thank you very much, Detroit. See you later, Tarek.
Skubal also recorded his 1,000th career strikeout in the game today on July 29th. He is the number two pitcher in fantasy behind this guy, number one, Jacob Mizorowski, over the last week. Look, the volume, not necessarily there in some respects. In some others, it absolutely is. Five innings pitched, no earned runs, just the one hit. Just the one with 12 strikeouts. And he hit 102.8 on the radar gun, which you might think is not that impressive. But when I tell you he averaged 102.8 on the radar gun, now you should be impressed, because that is just plain dumb. It's just dumb. 54 pitches at 102 plus miles per hour, Carson. We have never seen this before.
I wrote a long piece about Mizorowski and this kind of absurd level he's pitching at. Let me put this into perspective, Eric. There are 10 pitchers since 2008 to throw 54 pitches. 10 any pitchers, relievers exclusively, of course. 10 pitchers to throw 54 pitches at 102 in their careers. And you can probably name most of them. It's Aroldis Chapman. It's Jordan Hicks. It is, it's, you know, pick your guys, right? Yeah. Ben Joyce, I think, is up there.
Ben Joyce, yeah.
Right. Jacob Mizorowski did that in one start. There are, in terms of games where a pitcher throws 10 pitches of 102 miles an hour or more, 10 pitches, in terms of appearances, Mizorowski moves into second place just behind Aroldis Chapman on the most appearances of all time. Aroldis Chapman has close to 1,000 appearances over his MLB career, which is stretching close to 18 seasons by now. Jacob Mizorowski has started, I believe, 36 games.
So, like, basically one season.
Yeah. And that's nuts. Before, and this start in particular is astonishing. Not only is it the highest fastball velocity average ever, and that's probably not surprising, but before this start, there has been one start in MLB history to have more than 30 pitches at 102 miles an hour or more. And just not even one start, just one appearance with 30 pitches at 102 miles an hour or more. And that was done by Jacob Mizorowski. He is five. He has every single outing that has more than 20 pitches, and Mizorowski at 54 just laps the field.
Yeah, that is very impressive. I do remember a couple months ago I saw the comparison of his mechanics from last year and this year, and he's definitely getting more power from his legs this year, which is good if you're going to throw that hard. you want the power to come from your legs, minimize the strain on your arm, but and he doesn't skip leg day, by the way. No. Never skip leg day. Those of you out there, never do it. Cause then maybe you can throw as fast as Lee Miz. Probably not, but you could try.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Don't try.
All right. don't try it unless you want Tommy John surgery and some sort of shoulder surgery as well. That does it for your captain's report. When we come back, it's Marco Polo. Pitcher edition. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric. And this is Marco Polo Pitcher Edition. So We're going to compare players by stats without knowing their names. I'm going to give Carson the stats for two players, player A and player B, and he's going to have to tell me who he likes better, who he'd rather have rest of season, and then he's going to try and tell me who each player is by guessing correctly or incorrectly, and then we're going to reverse the roles, and I'm going to be in the guessing seat. And both of us are trying not to look like total fools when we do this. So we played this earlier in the season. It was a lot of fun. I think it was well received. And so we're going to do it again. Here we go. Carson, player A. I'll tell you this much. They are both pitchers because it'd be hard to give you these stats without telling you that. Because a second baseman doesn't have an ERA typically, right? So first up here. I want to make sure I got him on my got the right tabs open here. This pitcher, we're going to start with very surface level stats. This pitcher has a 3.16 ERA. He has struck out 7.79 batters per nine innings, and the walks are slightly over four. So that is player A. Yeah. Player B. This player has a 3.38 ERA. A K per nine of 7.83 and a walk per nine of 3.59. So, any guesses right now before I expand the stats here? Any guesses on who they might be?
I'm working on. I'm trying to think of who. I mean, both of these pitchers, low strikeout guys that walk a lot. Oh, or a relative amount. That's interesting. The walks are always interesting to me. I think that's something that can be difficult to pin down. To me, this feels. I think his ERA is much higher, but the name that comes to mind is like a Bryce Elder type.
Okay, not a bad guess for either one of these players. I will tell you that Bryce Elder is around these players when it comes to their WAR for the season. Player A's WAR is 0.8. Player B's WAR is 1.9. So a significant difference in WAR there. I will tell you this as well, Carson. Because when it's pitching, you always like to know their win-loss record. Player A is 9-6, and player B is 6-7.
Oof, man.
All right, I'll give you.
I'm trying to do this as blind as possible and just off the mental note. So, as I'm going around. Now, I don't know what you do when you're going around team to team, but I sort of like do it almost geographically.
Yes.
You know, where I'm glad you think so. I'm not that weird, but I'm like, okay, I'm seeing Atlanta. What's at Cincinnati? What's at Cleveland going on there? You know, all these jets. Team I'm kind of centering in on, I feel like Kansas City Royals. I'm going to say, is pitcher B Seth Lugo?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No. All right.
Totally fine. Totally fine.
We'll go a little further under the hood here. I want to make sure that I have the right stats, that I'm not looking at two different numbers. I'm navigating multiple tabs here. It is a lot of fun to see all of these numbers looking at me and making sure I read the right one. Okay. So, yes. Is it ERA? Do I want to do ERA? No, that's too surface level. Let's go deeper. Sierra. Player. We're going to start with player A. Player A Sierra has gone up each of the last three seasons from 3.5 to 4.1 to this year, a not so good 4.86. Player B has also seen their Sierra increase for the last three seasons. And if you want to go back even more, the last five seasons. And that has gone from, and I'll just read the last three, 3.63, 3.99 to a not so good 4.47. And one more stat for you. I want to give you swinging strike rate. The swinging strike rate for player B, just because I'm on that tab already, is 10.5. And the swinging strike rate for player A is, oh my God, so many numbers, 10.5. So this is a really good comparison. I like this.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I think pitcher B is definitely the one I would rather have more. Better okay. strikeouts to walks, I believe. This year is a bit lower. ERA close enough where I don't think there's anything else crazy going on. Now it's who is it? Oh, this one could be anybody.
Can I give you a hint?
You can absolutely give me a hint.
They play in the same division.
They play in the same division. Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. Now we just got to find the division. Which is
well, the good thing is there's six of those.
Six of those. Okay. Oh.
Would you like American or National, or you just you want to?
No, let me take another first. Shot. Let me take a shot. Okay. You give me a hint. All right. Take another shot. Right. As I'm thinking through this, that strike to watch. God, his ERA isn't that low, is it? Who has a? Sorry, remind me the ERAs again, please.
Player A has an ERA of 3.16. Player B has an ERA of 3.38.
Yeah, both of those are really solid.
Both the yeah, but both of them have an expected ERA well above one run higher.
Right. Okay. Well above four.
As you can imagine with that walk rate.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah. Okay. Is player B Landon Roop?
No. You're in the right division, though.
Okay.
And can I tell you one more? Do you want one more hint? Because I just might give it away.
No, you know what? Let me
hold that one.
Let me sink with the ship here.
nice nautical reference there.
Thank you. Oh, man. I'm just going like, do the Dodgers have anyone like that? I'm like, kind of, sort of. Okay.
You know what's fun? Geez. The Rockies are in this division, too.
I know, right? I was like thinking
did
about.
Did you think of a Rockies pitcher?
I thought of, could Kyle Freeland be on here by any chance? I was like, his ERA is not that low. No shot.
It's not him.
I'm blanking on who the pitcher they had earlier in the year that threw really Chase Allender. Yeah. And then he went down because of course.
We can't have nice things.
We cannot have nice things. He doesn't have an ERA this low, but is player B Merrill Kelly?
No, it is not Merrill Kelly.
Nope. All right. You've stumped me, Eric.
Fun fact, of all qualified pitchers, Merrill Kelly has the lowest WAR.
That's fun. That's all right.
-0.4.
Wow, he's been worse than I thought. I knew he was not great, but yeah. All right. I'm out of guesses. Who is it?
Okay, so you were very close with Landon Roop. You guessed the correct team for one of these players.
Mm-hmm.
Player A is on the San Francisco Giants. He has won a Cy Young Award. He is a left-hander, and his name is Robbie Ray.
Yep.
Former ace turned astonishing.
You know what? I never would have guessed that because Robbie Ray used to strike out a million guys. Mm-hmm. Where did that go?
That is a great question. That is, I think, one of the most puzzling things. Even last year, he had more than a strikeout per inning, just barely, but he had more than a strikeout per inning. This year is a career. It is a career worst strikeout rate if you take out 2014 when he was in Detroit. For 28 and two-thirds innings. This is not a very good year for Robbie Ray at all. If you happen to have him, I think he is a prime sell high, sell fast candidate. And now, player B, I said same division. You guessed no one on his team. He plays for the San Diego Padres, formerly of the New York Yankees. It is Michael King.
I was thinking about Michael King, and I didn't think of the metrics. Man, yeah, I was thinking about Michael King. I was. Name came on. I didn't think the ratios matched up that well, but yeah, King's been weirdly this year.
Yeah, he over the last five seasons has seen his ERA, his expected ERA, expected stats, underlying numbers all take a nosedive for the worst. Not very good. You wonder if those injuries that he's had over time here have kind of caught up with him a little bit. Again, career worst strikeout rate, career high walk rate, just not very good. Another sell high candidate in my mind, and he's been relatively lucky with a 251 BABIP.
So. Yeah. Now I will say I'll give myself some minor props here that I think I chose the right pitcher here. And Michael King over Robbie Ray, I think absolutely I'd take that.
Yes. Yes. If I had to have either one of those on my team, which I would try really hard not to, I would as well take Michael King. Good job, Carson. That was a tough one.
All right.
Because they are overperforming pitchers there. All right. Hit me up. This is pitcher edition. I at least know that they are pitchers.
Right. So we've got two pitchers that have quite similar stats, but maybe just a couple interesting ones here for you. So pitcher A has 124 innings on the season. Pitcher, do you want me to go pitcher A, read all their stuff, and then pitcher B, or bounce back and forth?
Yeah. All right, so 124 innings.
Wait, which one?
Oh, give me all of pitcher A, sorry.
Okay. 124 innings and a 2.76 ERA.
Okay.
Pitcher B has 130 2/3 innings. And pitcher B has a 2.48 ERA.
Ooh. Okay. So we are talking about some workhorses here. Guys who have been healthy all season. Relatively maybe missed one start at this point. And they go deep into games. Oh, man. Okay. So 124. And then did you say 132 innings?
130.2. Let me double check my figures. Oh, I am mistaken. Wait, hold on.
Uh-oh.
I am mistaken. Where did I even get that figure? Wait a second.
I've been deceived.
You have been deceived. That is true. You have not been deceived.
That is
the accurate figure. Yes, 130.2 innings pitch.
130.2. Oh, man. Okay. Well, did you gave me the ERAs. Is player? Can you just give me the ERAs one more time? So we 130.2. Okay.
The player A has an ERA of 2.76.
2.76. Okay.
Player B, 2.48.
Is player A Drew Rasmussen?
Player A is not Drew Rasmussen.
Ah, okay.
It's not a bad guess, Drew Rasmussen.
Inning total's probably a little lower than that for Rasmussen. But
Rasmussen a little lower, the ERA a little higher, but you're in the ballpark. Rasmussen, 111.1, ERA 307. Not a bad shout, though, for just getting those two.
Yeah. Okay.
Reasonably healthy this year.
Oh, boy. Huh. Is one of them Christopher Sanchez?
One of them is not Christopher Sanchez. It's a fun guess. I will give you that. Sanchez has the innings beat, though, 138.2.
Oh, wow.
Behind Sandy Alcantara, who has over 150 now, because the man just goes out there.
That's crazy.
ERA of 2.73. It was not a bad guess at all, but I mean, that's a little illuminating on this type of season. All right. You've made your two guesses. We'll move on to the next stat. The whip of these two. Okay. For player A, first of all, 1.032.
Okay.
And the whip for player B is 1.209.
1.2. And 1.03. Huh. Oh, boy. You know, the hardest part about this exercise is to have thrown that many innings at this point. My mind goes to like Christopher Sanchez type, right? Drew, like the ace or borderline ace players. And these are probably not. They're guys that are having very good seasons, but they're not the guys at the beginning of the year that you expected to put up innings totals like this.
Might be right.
Maybe one of them is. One of them probably is. Ah. I know neither one is Paul Skenes because his ERA is somehow over three.
Like 3.6. Yeah.
I know it's nice. Yeah. Okay.
2.7.
Jeez. I need another
hint.
Would you
like it? All right. I'll read off the next stats and then we'll go into some more. Player A, 12-2 record. Player B, 10-3 record.
Oh God. See, I play in quality starts league, so wins.
yes, but it can tell you a little.
Yeah, I can tell you that probably. Now, you did not give me their strikeout rates.
I have not given you your strikeout rates yet.
Okay. Oh boy.
You got two more guesses here. You can pass if you wish, but two more guesses.
Can you give me? Oh, all right. This is so hard without strikeout rates.
Mm-hmm. I'm not giving you anything more for this phase.
Okay, that's fine. I'm gonna have to pass on guessing. I have no.
No,
I wait, clue. Wait, no clue. Wait, 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 wait. Nope. He hasn't been healthy long enough to get up there. I was gonna say Zach Wheeler. He has not been healthy enough to get up to that many innings yet. Hasn't had enough starts.
Zach Wheeler is not a real guess, but I'll talk about him anyway. Wheeler is not it. Wheeler. I mean, we've talked about Wheeler so much. 103 innings, 2.53 ERA, with a whip of 0.92. So Wheeler close-ish on the closest on the ratios, but behind the innings.
Yeah. Is no, DeGrom's ERA is over three. It's not Schlittler. Yeah, I'm.
Shall I throw you a lifesaver?
Please.
All right.
Give me the
two
little ring.
The two final ones here are player A has a 22.6% K rate.
That's not
player
that high.
B, 17%.
What?
Both of these pitchers pitch in the National League.
Okay. Foster Griffin.
Bang!
It's player B.
No!
No, he's A?
He's A! You got it, which is close enough. Foster Griffin, player A.
Okay. Oh, man.
Griffin, 124 innings on the year. I'm reading off my phone here. 124 innings on the year, 2.76 ERA, 1.032 FIP, 12-2 record for the Washington Nationals with a 22.6% strikeout rate. But yeah, Foster Griffin is having himself a year.
Yes,
and
he is.
Generally pretty solid all around, overperforming, but not by a crazy amount.
Okay, so that's player A. Player B is tough because they have a 17% strikeout rate, which means I probably have not paid attention to this pitcher at all because not enough strikeouts. Both play in the National League. That helps ish. Nope. Wait. Yes. His ERA is too high. I was going to say Shota Imanaga, but that's not correct. His ERA is about one higher.
No.
He's got the innings, though.
He's a little behind, but.
Okay, so here's my final guess. Is player B?
Bum, bum, bum.
I know. My mind just went to the Texas Rangers, and I'm like, why? They're not in the National League.
Not in the National League.
Okay. My final guess is player B with his terrible strikeout rate. Is it Merrill Kelly?
It is not Merrill Kelly, but you are very close. It is Eduardo Rodriguez of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh,
who
God.
Started today, hence why my figures, I was a little questioning, but they were correct. 2.48 ERA after a scoreless outing against the Pirates today. He has, earlier today, he went 8 innings, 2 strikeouts, no earned runs.
Sell. This man's expected ERA indicators are like 2.5 runs higher than his actual ERA.
Oh, it's good.
I don't think I've ever seen a bigger red flag than Eduardo Rodriguez in fantasy that just says, get rid of me as fast as possible. He is a ticking time bomb. He really is. Ugh. And you know the weird part, because this is baseball, it might not happen this season.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
but it could very well just be all of next season.
He's had an ERA a tick north of 5 the last 2 years after signing a big long-term deal with the Diamondbacks. Goes to show you free agency doesn't always fix things. And then this year, 2.5 ERA. That has been the Crow's Nest.
That is the Crow's Nest.
That's Marco Polo. That's not the Crow's Nest. The Crow's Nest,
yeah, that is Marco Polo. You know what's up next is the Crow's Nest. Where
that's why I don't do
reads. One day you will do a read and you will nail it on this show, because I know you nail it on the First Pitch Pod. All right, so when we come back, it will be the Crow's Nest, where I'm going to give Carson stats for players and he's going to have to guess who they are. We are not comparing in this situation. Oh, by the way, in that game, I don't think I told you who I would take. I probably would have taken...
I knew you once would have you taken player A once you got the strikeout rate.
Right. Once I got the strikeout rate, player A, and probably player A off the whip if I had to take one in the first round. So Foster Griffin, yes, I would take Foster Griffin over Eduardo Rodriguez rest of season. Although I kind of want to sell Foster Griffin too. I don't buy it, but he's been very good. All right. So when we come back, it will be the Crow's Nest. That was Marco Polo. Crow's Nest up next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Shallows. I'm Eric. That's Carson. And this is the Crow's Nest. I'm going to give Carson the stats for players, and he's going to have to guess who they are. We are not comparing in this one. We are just trying to see if he can blind guess who these players are. And Carson, just give me 1 second as I'm closing out of some a big tab situation going on.
No worries. Okay. I can take this time to talk about how Pete Crow Armstrong is like going to be the MVP. You know that, right?
Shh. He's been really good. I will eat my words on PCA this season, but he needs to shake the hot and cold tendencies, and the contact issues aren't totally gone. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you a player, and you're going to try and guess exactly who they are. This player has played in 101 games, 458 plate appearances, 15 homers, 15 stolen bases, batting .269.
Jazz Chisholm has more stolen bases than this. That's
yes,
a name
he has 29 stolen bases. Yeah, that's been the only saving grace for his fantasy value.
It's a heck of a good saving grace. Stolen bases. You said 15. He's got 15 right now.
15.
Okay.
Got to be happy with that based on
hitting .269. You're going around. Like, who are you? 101 games, so they haven't played all year. We'll go Royce Lewis.
No, not Royce Lewis. I don't believe have that many stolen bases or home runs. All right, another stat for you. This player has increased his walk rate every season, but his K rate has also gone up. However, so has his ISO. the power has increased every year for this player. And adversely, the stolen bases have gone down.
Increased power. That's a little tricky. And it can't have increased from that much. So it must have increased from that much, rather. But whatever. I'm thinking too hard to make eloquent phrasing. I'm just realizing what he said made no sense. It's fine, whatever. I'm gonna go. I thought it was like Bryce Terang's been hot recently, but I don't think that's gonna be right. Let's go Bo Bichette.
It is not Bo Bichette. He does not have 15 stolen bases.
Figured as much.
Is there a stat that you would like to help you here?
Like
your choice.
My choice. Oh, you flatter me. Let's go with walk rate.
Walk rate currently sits at 12.9%, up nearly three, if you just want to round that up to 13, up 3% from last year.
Okay. Interesting. So 13% walk rate, that is up there. With some stolen bases, instead they're hitting 269 with increased.
Do you want team, division, league?
I'll take league.
National league.
All right, makes sense. Okay. As I'm going through each of the teams, the stolen bases one is so tricky because 15 stolen bases is a lot of stolen bases, and that rules out a lot of players. I'm thinking of guys, I'm like, they're probably don't do it. And walk rate so much for a hair. I was thinking Manny Machado. I was like, wait a minute. He's hitting like 204, which is a lot better than it was.
Not stolen 15 bases.
this isn't going to be right. Mookie Betts.
It is not Mookie Betts. Carson.
Yep.
The funny part is his name came out of your mouth. You just didn't guess him. It is Bryce Terang. Oh, man. It is Bryce Terang. Pleasantly surprised with the power coming from Terang. If you expected him to get somewhere between 24 and 50 stolen bases, I think you're out of luck on that one. But he's turned into a very good player. And I think we finally kind of know who he is. He's a 2020 guy, hit about 270, and that's what you can expect from Bryce Terang at a premium position of second base.
I think I said Bryce Terang thinking of someone else, and I have forgotten who I was thinking of, but that's really funny. He's doing great. He's a great player. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
He's been really good. All right, next up here, it's another hitter for you. Okay, this hitter has currently played in 108 games, 470 plate appearances, 15 homers, 74 runs scored, 61 RBI, 7 stolen bases.
Okay, not a ton of home runs, lot of runs and RBI, which is interesting. Could you read off? Well, hold on. Actually, I think they played 108 games, yeah?
108 games so far.
108 games, stolen bases, RBI. So probably not my thinking here is not going to be someone at the top of the order and very likely not someone at the bottom. This is a middle of the order bat because that runs and RBI has to be that. And then it's the home runs and stolen bases, 15 home runs, 7 stolen bases. I got that right?
Yes.
Okay. It's got to be someone that is like boring with their legs. it's a little bit, and it's like, you know, you draft if you draft them, they've got something here, but nothing crazy. Did you give me their average?
I did not. He's
I
hitting
thought as much.
He's hitting 269 also.
Okay, 269. That makes a lot of sense. Bryce Harper was a name that came to mind, but he definitely does not have that home run or stolen base total. He has more than that home runs. I'm sure of it. Thirty teams is a lot, man.
Thirty teams
is a lot of teams. As I'm going over every infield and outfielder in baseball, let me go. Let me go, Freddie Freeman.
No, it is not Frederick Freddie Freeman. All right, next stat to give you. He is 31. And he is currently sporting a career high walk rate of 14%.
Wow, makes sense.
And he is one home run away from the total amount of home runs he hit last season.
One home run from 16 last year. 31 years old. Man, that name's not right. Can I get a league?
National
League again. All right.
I'm sensing a theme. We're always in the National League.
The National League is a fun league this year. The American League is. Yeah. Brandon Lau.
It is not Brandon Lau.
Yep.
That's a good guess, though. That is a very good guess. All right. Next stat is your choice.
My choice. So this is a career high walk rate. Give me, I'm assuming you have baseball savant up. Give me barrel percentage.
I do not. I had Fangraphs up.
That is fine. But you can find it there. But
I'll get it. It's easy to find here. All right. Barrel percentage, 11.6%. Mm. That is 76th percentile.
Okay.
It's a nice looking stat cast, baby.
That's 76th percentile, right? Okay. Feels high. Maybe I've just been looking at Nick Kurtz's StatCast page for too long.
Nick Kurtz has been a little lackluster in the home run department this season.
That's weird.
Is it? He's got a 32% strikeout rate.
I mean, yeah, that's weird. I mean, those guys usually, like Aaron Judge has had Yankee fan. Corbin Carroll.
No, it is not Corbin Carroll. Good guess, though. You have guessed a teammate of his. He is bouncing back from a down season, but otherwise had a 3-4 year run of 24 or more home runs where he was a very serviceable third outfielder in shallow leagues. Brian Reynolds.
I was thinking about Reynolds.
He's been sneaky good this year. Sneaky good.
Corbin Carroll wasn't a great guess. What's this? I think he's 15 home runs, stolen bases. 14. Probably low for him, but.
Oh, yeah. No, that is low for Corbin Carroll. 14 stolen bases?
Yeah. Quick side tangent on Corbin Carroll. He is like the only guy in baseball that hits triples, and I think that's fascinating. Like Corbin Carroll, he won't approach all-time triple totals because those are like 300. Because in 1904, that was like what they hit. But Corbin Carroll has led the National League in triples for four consecutive years, and he is about to lead Major League Baseball in triples for his third consecutive year. He's 55 career triples at 25.
That's crazy. Yeah, he's fast. He's very, very fast.
For reference, I think Mike Trout is either first, the active leader, or he is like right up there. Mike Trout has 55 for his entire career.
That's pretty crazy. Corbin Carroll's power numbers are down this year. Stolen bases are a little down this year. He's just having a down season, I think. But so is Arizona as a whole. I got one more for you to close out the show. I'm just trying to decide between two players who to pick here. Because this could be fascinating if I pick the right player. Okay. Let's stay in the National League. Why not? All right. This player's played in 106 games, 458 plate appearances, 22 homers, 56 runs scored. And I'm going to stop right there before I give you any more.
Okay. 22 home runs, bunch of runs. Well, a good amount of runs scored. First name that came to mind, Juan Soto.
It is not Juan Soto. Fun fact, this player is third in all of baseball in RBIs.
Wow.
79.
79. Whoa.
Third in all of baseball.
Behind
these are one of these names I expected. The other I most definitely didn't. And we talked about him briefly earlier in the show. CJ Abrams, number one in baseball with 82 RBIs. Yordan Alvarez, number two with 80. Yeah.
So I think RBI. What are the stats you gave me? He's third in RBI with a lot.
With 79. He's played 106 games, 458 plate appearances, 22 homers, 56 runs scored. It's a decent amount of runs, but it doesn't put him in the top 30, believe it or not.
Give me Max Muncy.
That is a really good guess. It is not Max Muncy. The problem with guessing Max Muncy there, all the other stats line up, the RBIs do not. Because
really?
He was weird. Remember, he had like 8 homers and like 11 RBIs at one point.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that has a knack for the solo shots. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Who are some other guys that are out there? I feel like, okay, this guy, this is probably too bullish. Give me Ian Happ.
It is not Ian Happ. They're a little too bullish there.
Thank you so much.
The RBIs are the key here. Yeah. I'll give you another stat. He has a K rate of 21.4%.
That's so not helpful, Eric.
All right.
That's just well, then you... No, you'll run with it. I'll give one more guess. I'm gonna say Bryce Harper.
It is not Bryce Harper.
Okay.
What stat would you like as your last statistical?
What clue? Stat would I like? I okay. I'm gonna throw you for a loop.
I'll give you two. You can ask for two stats.
Here's this. Give me Statcast outs above average.
Oh boy. All right. Statcast outs above average. Where do I find that one? I don't know where to find.
You can just look up the player name and it's at the bottom of the player card.
On Smut?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yep.
His outs above average is zero.
Dang. Oh, you know what? Helpful, actually.
Really? Okay.
Well, I mean, it's like, I know it's not a bunch of guys that either are bad, they're fine at defense.
Okay.
So that's like, that's interesting. 22 home runs, lot of RBI. And runs batted in.
Is there any other stat that you would like?
I'm working on it. How many stolen bases did you say they had?
I didn't.
Did, okay, well, then give me that.
12.
12 stolen bases, 22 and 12. Ooh, that's interesting. It's not Pete Crow, I'm sure.
No, he has 26 stolen bases.
He does. I think he has 22 home runs, though. Or at least he's really
23.
23, yeah. I was like, he's really close to that. Oh, boy. Man, I'm not having a great day at the plate here, but it's tricky if I can say so myself. I mean, this is a hard thing to do.
This is tricky. This is very tricky, especially because you're talking about a player pool that can have a player ranked in the 1000s, like Cal Raleigh. Okay, that's a lot. It's a lot of players. Side note, is Cal Raleigh droppable? In shallow leagues, he might be approaching.
Yeah, I think so. That's a hilarious thing to throw in at 64.
At the 1 hour mark.
My final guess is going to be Jordan Walker.
It is not Jordan Walker. Jordan Walker does have 22 home runs, though. It is Mr. Mario, Sal Stewart.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about not getting that one. I wouldn't have. That's a ton of RBI for Sal Stewart.
A ton.
Yep. I know he's hit some slams. He's hit some slams or something. Wow.
He had a six RBI game at one point this season.
Sure.
Opening up the game log here just to see RBIs. He's actually had 2 6 RBI games this year and 1 5 RBI game. That's a lot.
That's nice. Yeah. Well, I've been stumped.
That's okay. You know what? It's a hard game, and I bet we stump the audience as well. I know I briefly just dropped this. Is Cal Raleigh droppable? You're going to have to stay tuned for next week because we're going to really dive into some guys like that. Austin Riley, Cal Raleigh. Is it time that you can finally, because we're approaching the deadline, the last month of the regular season of fantasy, if you can drop these players? So that's what you call a tease. We're going to wrap it up right there. We'll be back next Friday with a brand new episode to make sure you never miss it, or you don't miss it, or any episode for that matter. Please subscribe. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a question for us to answer right here on the pod, reach out to us on social media, leave a comment on YouTube, hit us up on the PL Discord, or email us at theshallowspod@gmail.com. He's Carson Picard at Carson Picard on Blue Sky. I'm Eric Henriksen at Eric Hinn. That's Eric with a K on Blue Sky and Twitter, reminding you that murky waters are fine if you know how to swim. And we went through some of the murkiest waters possible today, trying to guess players without knowing anything. It's a big player pool.
We swam all right.
But we swam all right. It's a big player pool, but we only deal with the shallow end of it. So see you next time in the shallows.
Take care, you guys.